was so cool about last night's Knick win, even I admit this, seeing all the Knick legends enjoying every moment of the game. Mello's hugging John Starks, who's hugging Larry Johnson, who's hugging Bernard King. Actually, was Bernard King there last night, or was it the game one?
Bernard King was game one. Last night was Mello.
Yeah. It was Mello, Luttrell, LJ. Like, that's got to make you feel pretty cool. Like, all these legends, some of which never played with each other, like, really enjoying every big moment, especially John Starks. John Starks has become, like, I don't know, a mascot for the Knicks. I like that.
He's bordering on Marlins man territory.
Oh, stop it.
Look, I like John. A little annoying now with the two
Speaking
games.
Speaking of Marlins man, and I may be the only one to say this, but last night I'm watching the Mets game, and there were four guys behind home plate dressed as Marlins man.
Why?
I don't know. Like, there were four guys imitating Marlins man behind home plate last night during the Mets-Giant game, along with two guys that dress up as umpires, which I have seen before.
The Toronto guys, yeah.
Yeah, the umpire bit's kind of funny. Like, I don't mind that. But, yeah, there were four Marlins man imitators. Anyhow, it's 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday. That means Cinco de Five.
Cinco de Five-O with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
We want Tommy.
No. Pat Boyle's done a great job filling in for Loogie. In fact, Loogie could take another day, all right?
Yeah.
Enjoyed Boyle.
What the hell was that about?
I know. It's a cheap shot.
I'm taking cheap shots at John Starks, Pat Boyle, all of them. Cinco de Five-O.
What did I even do that prompted you to say that?
You were late on the trigger. Can I read the sponsor now?
Thanks. Your sister's ass.
Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right, the Sixers have had a lot of whiny complaints, and last night Nick Nurse complaining that he was trying to call a timeout. Although, if you go back and watch some video, it's kind of random hand signals until the ball
is
loose.
He's not actually trying to call a timeout.
So if you haven't seen this video, go look it up. It's all over on social media. I'm going to give you the five things the refs could have mistaken Nick Nurse's hand gesture for other than a timeout. Here we go.
Number five.
Auditioning for the Yankee Stadium grounds crew with the YMCA.
Oh,
that first arm movement is not a timeout. That looks like he's shooting up for a Y there.
I could see it. There was a little YMCA to it.
Little feel. All right.
Number four.
Telling those in suites, looking up at them, flip on the Islander game. There's about to be another collapse.
It just laughs too much. I mean, it hurts too much to laugh.
Here we go.
Number three.
Mimicking how Hunter Wendelstedt ejected Aaron Boone. You're out of here. Again, that hand gesture. Here we go.
Number two.
Signaling to James Dolan that Emily Ratajkowski has left again early. Did that. All right.
She wasn't Number there, was one.
She? Oh, no. And last but not least, the final thing the ref could have mistaken Nick Nurse's hand gesture for other than a timeout. He was waving high on TV to Doc Rivers, telling him it wasn't all your fault.
It's good.
And that's your Cinco de Five-O today and every day.
It's actually not a bad list. It was quick, it was funny, and it was to the point.
Good job, Sean.
Very good job, Sean. Cinco de Five-O every day at 5 o'clock. So what the Philadelphia 76ers have done, if you did not hear this last night, the Philadelphia 76ers are filing a grievance with the NBA.
Why? What are they going to do?
Well, they're filing. I'll tell you in a second. They're filing a grievance over the officiating across the first two games, a team spokesperson told ESPN. So your question is, what is it going to do?
Yeah, what does that accomplish? We're going to let you know, league, that we're pissed off.
So
what does that do?
It's not a protest. You could actually protest, which the Knicks did earlier this season when they were upset about a call. What I've always explained about protesting is protest doesn't work on judgment calls. Like, something would have to be executed the wrong way.
Right.
Like, awarding a team a timeout when they don't have a timeout, something of that nature. So the protest that the Knicks had and the protest that the Pistons had against the Knicks, I think it was the Pistons against the Knicks, yeah, it never goes anywhere. This is not a protest. A grievance is just a way to voice your displeasure with the league about the officiating. The team will say in the grievance, quote, "The Sixers have been disadvantaged more than any other team in the league when it comes to officiating."
How can you prove that? I'm being honest. I mean, serious. Like, how can you prove that?
I don't think you can prove it other than showing individual plays in which you feel you were aggrieved.
Every team. The Knicks could do this 15 times a week with Jalen Brunson, right? So what's the point other than sounding more like a crybaby?
Okay, so you do sound like a crybaby. I cannot deny that. I will tell you the point of this. And this is not a defense of it. To me, this is an explanation of it. So do not get mad at me.
All right.
If you recall years ago, Phil Jackson would go to the media in the middle of a playoff series and just destroy the officiating. And he would do that as a bully tactic. He would do it as a way of, if I keep saying something publicly enough, maybe the officials hear it and maybe they start to officiate differently. And I could tell you firsthand, they seem to officiate differently. And so Phil Jackson made a cottage industry of this. I'm going to openly complain about calls. And really, what's the worst that can happen? I pay a fine. Who cares? I'm rich. I got more money than God. Maybe it causes a change. So what the Sixers are doing is, yes, they're acting like crybabies. I am not defending that. But they're trying to impose change by publicly announcing to the world, we're aggrieved, we're upset, we're filing a grievance, thinking that maybe you get an extra whistle or two back in Philadelphia for Game 3 and Game 4.
Is it going to be the same officiating crew?
I think so, yes.
So I think so.
I got to double check that. It's a good question.
If it is, then...
Can you double check that, Boiler Sean?
If it is, there might be some legs to this. If it's not, you're just... Whatever.
No, I disagree. And again,
right, if it's not the same officiating crew, you're telling me that the new officiating crew is going to get a memo that says, hey, be sure to look out for XYZ.
No memos. No, there will never be a memo from the league. What I think would happen is you're publicly calling out officials, hoping that subconsciously they make different calls in the midst of a game.
Yeah, but officials get called out for everything.
And sometimes it works. I'm telling you, worked with Phil Jackson over the years,
dude. It's a different era, though. It's a different era of accountability.
We don't have the official assignment yet until the day before the game.
So was 1 and 2 the same?
No. Scott Foster was game 1.
That's right. You know what? Then it will be different. But it doesn't matter. And also,
is pointless.
It's not pointless.
It just makes you sound... It is pointless.
What's the biggest negative out of filing a grievance?
You sound like a crybaby.
I agree with you. That's the biggest negative, though, right?
Right.
You sound like a crybaby.
But it's not going to change anything.
Okay. What's the biggest positive out of filing a grievance?
You sound like a crybaby.
Maybe you get an extra call or two.
But you're not. You can't know, right? Because if a foul is a foul, it's a foul, and it gets called. And now you're going to say that 2 days before that wasn't a foul?
No. What I'm going to say is, if we're sitting here on Friday afternoon talking about Game 3, and Knicks fans feel like, hey, man, they got the whistle, you don't think there'll be some Knicks fans who will say, you know what, maybe they got the whistle because they whined and bitched about it on Tuesday morning and Monday night?
You could say that, but I wouldn't believe it.
Oh, I believe it because I've seen it. I saw it with Phil. Phil used to make an art form out of this.
I mean, you can quantify that. You can empirically evidence the fact that bitching about not getting calls led to you getting calls in the next game. If someone can do that,
you can't though, TK.
Exactly.
I know that.
Exactly.
It's not my point.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's pointless.
No, it's not pointless.
It is.
Pointless means there's no possible positive outcome out of it.
There is no outcome that's tangible.
Well, you're right that you can't prove it. Like, I will totally give you that. There's no way I can sit here on Friday and prove it to you. But I think teams think, I have nothing to lose. Filing a grievance does not cause anything other than us mocking you. That's it. Like, yeah,
right.
We can mock them. Or Knicks fans can mock them. And by the way, it's open game. You should mock them. What about the call that was overturned?
And that shouldn't have been overturned. They win the series all of a sudden. They're going to be like, oh, man, I'm so glad, Nick Nurse, at the end of it. This is such a hard-fought series. But that grievance that we filed after Game 2, man, that really helped us.
You'll never admit that was amazing.
No.
It was great. You never admit that.
So
but
what's the point?
Because maybe it changes a call or
be
two.
Be a man and play better. I'm serious.
T, I don't disagree with you. But you're missing the overall point Let me ask you a question.
This is not an overall point.
This
goes back to the football season when we get into a fight over the New Orleans Saints scoring a superfluous touchdown against the Atlanta Falcons.
I was on your side, too.
And everybody's crying about it. Oh, my God, how can you do that? You can't score another touchdown. It's sport, man. Like, stop being soft. Stop crying. Stop bitching about everything. Win or lose. That's it. It's binary. There's no tangent that you throw out there because you file a grievance. It ultimately makes it more I don't know, in your favor.
Do you remember when the Knicks filed a protest after? And I'm trying to remember the end of the game.
Yes, they did. And I do remember.
The Rockets game.
The Rockets game, right. They filed a protest. And I remember saying to you, Tiggy, nothing's going to happen. They're just showing their displeasure. There's no way it's going to be overturned. But I understand why they do it. I understand why teams do it. It's not going to lead to anything tangible, but maybe. Just maybe.
And did it?
I don't know. They got all the calls in the Piston game a week later, and then the Pistons filed a protest. So who knows? Like, just because I can't prove something to you, and I agree with you, I cannot prove it. My point to you is,
if it's not provable, then how do you know that it was impactful?
Because you got nothing to lose with it.
Yeah, except for your...
Go ahead. Your dignity?
No.
Let's go to Dino in South Plainfield. What's up, Dino?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Yo.
Before I get to my next point, Evan, I don't know if anybody said anything, but I'm watching the Mets-Dodgers game on Saturday, and you look exactly like Lee Garrett.
I don't really? That is a great compliment.
It's not like straight from the face, but like on the side when he's pitching from the side. It's like
I want to ask you this one question about Reed Garrett. Reed Garrett is off to such a historic start with the Mets out of the bullpen. What I want to know, and I want you to think about this, Tiki. You don't have to answer it right now. I want everybody to think about this. When does Reed Garrett become a big deal? When are we walking around with Reed Garrett jerseys? When is it Reed Garrett sanity, like Jabba Chamberlain or Jeremy Lin? Because this guy has been so freaking good. Now, maybe, you know, he's going to turn into a pumpkin tonight in San Francisco. I have no idea. But if this continues, I just want to know when my lookalike, Reed Garrett, starts to become like this big freaking deal. So ponder it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Hmm. Anyhow, go ahead, Dino.
Hey, so I don't want to be like a Knicks hater because I really believe that they should probably win this series and probably go even to the Eastern Conference Finals because I think every team has a flaw, even Boston. But I tried to call last week. I didn't get in. This is a carbon copy of Thibodeau's Bulls and Derrick Rose team. You have a great point guard that can score. Mm-hmm. The rest of the guys play great defense. Everything you say about I'm a Bulls fan, so I don't want. This is what I saw. I saw this and that era. Everything play great defense. Center that rebounds, plays tough, everything. But when it comes to the playoffs, if you don't have two bona fide scorers on the road, the role players are not going to play good on the road in the playoffs. I mean, that's just that happens to every team. So if the Knicks don't really have home court advantage in every series, they lose one home game, I think they're going to lose the series.
Here's where I will question you, okay? Where I will push back on you. How often did Derrick Rose have awful postseason games and the Bulls win anyway? How often?
Hardly ever.
Hardly ever. You know that, or are you just being confident?
I'm being confident.
Look it up.
Because they didn't win a ton.
Look it up. How often did they win games despite off nights from Derrick Rose? Like really off nights, like the nights we saw with Jalen Brunson. It's funny. I've got Derrick Rose's game logs in his postseason career right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Let me see how he performed in wins. Okay, here's a win. 63% from the field, 12 for 19. He scored 36. Okay, that's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a win. 10 for 17 from the field, 59%. Here's a win, 12 for 25, 48%, 4 for 6 from the line, 28 points. Pretty good game. Now, where are the bad games that he had, and they won anyway? And I'm literally going through it, and I found one. I got one, ladies and gentlemen. Up 2-0 on the Indiana Pacers. He had a 4 for 18 night, wow, and they won despite him to go up 3-0. But in the first two games, he played rather well. The point is,
the Pacers quit.
Yeah, they probably quit.
Was that the Roy Hibbert Pacers team?
Yeah, I think so. The point is, it's few and far between.
Right.
So I know that Tom Thibodeau has a Chicago legacy. I've brought up a Chicago legacy. But I think if we're being fair, not everything is the same. I don't think these teams are the same. I think the Knicks are not overly reliant on Jalen Brunson. They just showed you that by winning two games against the 76ers with Embiid and Maxey playing well.
Right, scoring 60-plus every
They got
game.
Nothing from Brunson, yeah, and they won anyway. Now, I'm not telling you this can happen every single night, but all you've got to do is win 4 out of 7 in a series. Can there be games where you overcome Jalen Brunson not performing well? The Knicks have shown you they can.
Mm.
You did your research, Sean?
Yeah, there's a second one.
Okay, I still win if there's only two.
It was the torn knee game, 9 of 23.
That doesn't count.
He got hurt in the last minute, Ev. They won the game anyway.
Okay, so that's one.
It's just ominous.
Yeah. It just ruined his career.
Yeah.
But my point is,
probably shows why he was in there. Get a little confidence. Right.
But my point is, if that's all you can come up with is two, the Knicks just did it twice in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would have asked me this question 2 weeks ago, like, hey, can the Knicks win despite Jalen Brunson struggling? I may have given you a different answer, because all season long, Jalen was like an MVP. I mean, most of the season, they won games, yeah, because of their fight, yeah, because of their dog, yeah, because they knew how to close out games. But they also won it because they had the quote-unquote superstar playing at a superstar level. How often did they win games in the regular season with Jalen being as off as he's been in the first two games? It wasn't that often, but they just did it.
Yeah, and those Bulls teams, I don't even remember like the role players, but they didn't feel as deep as this team. Like, we haven't even talked about Deuce McBride and, you know, the game that he had offensively and defensively the last two. So, I mean, this team feels more complete or deep. I think deep is the better. Maybe not fully complete, but deeper than those Chicago Bulls teams. And again, that was a different time.
Different world, man.
Right.
Long time ago. Greg in the Poconos. Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
I am blown away by how wonderful it was watching Tom Thibodeau school Nick Nurse about how you handle the last 30 seconds of a game when you're down by five.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, that was wonderful. How they just let that clock run out like that in the first game, and watching what the Knicks just did last night was wonderful in the last 30 seconds. He schooled them. He taught them how to coach.
It's a little bit different, though, because of the deficit that the 76ers felt like they couldn't come back on. And but let's be real. Like, the Knicks got a little lucky here.
Well, they got lucky, and also I agree that there were some moments from Nick Nurse in which he was outcoached. But I also need to be very honest about one thing, and that is it didn't work. So it's easy to kill. But the play he drew up for Tyrese Maxey after the Sixers went down one, it sort of worked. He got to the basket. It was a brilliant play. Let's dump it back to Tyrese in the backcourt. Let's let him get full speed where we know the Knicks can't stop him. Let's get full head of motion. Let him go downhill. Let him get to the basket because he's been doing it all series. Except the caveat that blew up what I thought was a brilliant play call was Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yes, but he also...
he made a great play.
Yeah, but I think Maxey leapt too early.
What do you mean leapt too early?
So he left.
Left too early.
Leapt
up
for the goal.
Like leaped up.
Yeah.
Is it leapt or leaped?
It's leapt.
It would be leapt.
Yeah.
I don't trust him.
He leapt too early, and so he was coming down when Hartenstein was right there. If he had taken a half a step more, it would have been you couldn't have blocked the shot.
Mm.
So again, that's legs. That's conditioning.
That's legs and conditioning, but you have to admit that was a pretty
great
play drawn up by Nick Nurse.
Great play drawn up by Nick Nurse. Even better defensive play by Ihart.
I got it. I've got it in my hands, ladies and gentlemen. We've waited all night for this. I love that the league does this. Some people don't like it. I love it. In my possession right now is the NBA's two-minute report from last night's Knicks-Sixers game. For those that are not familiar with the NBA two-minute report, the NBA holds its officials accountable. So at the end of every game, this happens during the regular season, they will release correct calls from the final 2 minutes that were deemed close, incorrect calls from the final 2 minutes that were close, and they let us know. And they tell us, hey, they got this right. Hey, they got this wrong. Personally, I would love this in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
I would love this in baseball.
It'd be amazing in the NFL.
Now, I understand that fans will say, well, what does this do for me? It's holding people accountable. They're not going to fix the game. They're not going to go back into the moment, but it's good to know. So four calls in the final 2 minutes were incorrect.
Four. Holy cow.
You ready?
Let's hear them.
And by the way, all four of them were non-calls. So they were incorrect non-calls, things that were not called on the floor.
Definitely the Brunson, Josh Hart.
Take a deep breath. We'll get there.
Definitely.
A minute 14 to go.
Okay.
OG Anunoby should have been called for a defensive 3 seconds with a minute 14 to go. Now, perspective. 5 seconds later, Tyrese Maxey hit the logo three. Okay, so Maxey hit it about 4 seconds after the non-call was made.
Right,
now, if they call a defensive 3 seconds, free throw, extra point, side out. So, yeah, the Sixers may add an extra point, but who knows what ends up happening in that possession.
Right. Maxey may not be taking a logo three.
There you go. So that's number one. Benefits the New York Knicks slightly.
I'm just saying.
It gives him a point.
Maxey took a three.
It gives him a point. What do you want me to tell you?
I would call that one a push.
All right. There we go. Incorrect call number two. With 34.7 seconds to go, Joel Embiid committed a foul against Dante DiVincenzo that was not called. That was a few seconds, I guess, after or before Jalen Brunson then turned it over. Or actually, it was when DiVincenzo picked it up after Brunson turned it over.
Yes.
That should have been a foul. How about that? That's one call that went the Sixers' way. So right now, the score is tied 1-1.
Right, but were they were in the penalty, right? So
were they in the penalty at that time? I don't think they were for some reason.
Right, so that's actually a win. I'm trying to think how that would
work. No, they had to be in the penalty. Because then when they fouled OG Anunoby with 12 seconds left,
that was the next
he shot
foul.
Free throws.
Right. Yeah. So that actually benefited the 76ers in two ways. One, because
Jalen doesn't hit the three, which he ended up hitting a few seconds later, seven seconds later.
Yes.
So instead of it being a two-point game, it's a three-point game.
Yes.
Incorrect call number three with 27 seconds to go. Jalen Brunson pulled Tyrese Maxey's jersey away from his body, which affected Maxey's ability to secure the pass. We all saw that, and I think we'd all agree.
That was the obvious one.
They missed one.
That was the obvious
one. They missed the second one, though.
But that's garbage because he two-handed pushed Josh Hart right before that.
I'm sorry, the two-minute report does not acknowledge that.
Well, that's garbage, and they can kick rocks.
All right. Why are you getting so mad at the man right now? I'm just letting you know what they said.
He did push Josh Hart.
Okay. Well, they didn't call that in the two-minute report. Here is the other foul that they messed up. Josh Hart should have been called for a foul against Tyrese Maxey with 24.9 seconds to go. Hart steps forward into Maxey's space, initiates lower body contact that causes Maxey to lose his balance and fall to the floor. So basically, the Knicks fouled Tyrese Maxey twice before he turned the ball over.
Which we all saw.
Right. I felt like the second one, Brunson was obvious. He definitely grabbed his jersey. You could see it. Josh Hart, I felt like, was going for a loose ball. And I didn't feel like Maxey had possession and was in shooting position. In fact, he was facing the sideline.
Right.
And then he fell down and then tried to usher the ball to Kyle Lowry, and Josh Hart took it. Right. So the second one, I don't, the fourth one in that series, I don't agree with necessarily.
So you are saying you disagree with the league telling you that was an incorrect non-call.
Because I felt like the ball was loose.
By the way, I do want to comment on one thing because I'm now reading the full report that includes the calls that they are admitting got right. They acknowledge the play that you thought was a push-off by Tyrese Maxey and saying that it was a correct non-call. Maxey brings his hands towards Hart and marginal contact occurs as Maxey releases away from Hart during the inbound. An attempt to call a timeout by Coach Nurse during this play is neither recognized nor granted by the officials. They point that out in the two-minute report.
Right. So they're saying it. He didn't call it correctly.
An attempt to call a timeout by Coach Nurse during this play is neither recognized nor granted. That seems more innocuous. That they're just describing. Yeah.
Well, they're
he
saying,
tried to call a timeout and it wasn't granted.
Yeah. It sounds like what they're saying is Nick Nurse, if you're going to call a timeout, let us know you're actually calling a timeout by being like right with it.
So there's
he was incorrectly calling a timeout.
There are two timeouts that we have to acknowledge. There's the timeout before the inbounds pass, because remember, Philly could advance the ball, which, by the way, they should have done anyway.
Yeah.
They should have done it anyway, because when you turn the ball over under the basket, look what can happen. If you are on the other side, you give yourself more space and more wiggle room. So Nick Nurse screwed up, in my opinion, because he should have called a timeout even before they were trying to inbound the basketball.
As soon as Jalen Brunson's shot goes down.
Timeout.
Call timeout.
Call timeout. That's on him. So let me just address this because I have two different opinions.
He's probably thinking, because they're still up by two.
Yeah.
So he's thinking inbound, they're going to foul.
Okay. It's the same thing on the other side. You just give yourself more room. You're under the basket.
Yeah.
Think about the bad stuff that happens when you turn the ball over under the basket. You saw it. Now, when Nick is trying to call the timeout, that one's half-assed. And I think the reason it's half-assed is because he thinks the refs are going to call a foul, which they never do. So Nick Nurse has his hand kind of like, he's wiggling it. Like Sean did a great Cinco de Favo rewind at 5 o'clock. You can hear it. His hands are like wiggling. It's not a full timeout. So I agree with the official saying, I don't know what you're doing with your hands.
Right.
But we're not calling a timeout. The second one where he tried to call a timeout is when Maxey was on the ground. And when Maxey was on the ground,
He called timeout. He did.
Yes, but...
He did.
But
I'm sorry.
But hold on. We had a caller say this earlier, and I'd have to go see this again. Did Maxey have definite possession?
No, enough for them to grant him the timeout, yes. Mm. Yes. But here's what my counter to my own point is. Yes, he was calling timeout. But to me, it's imperative for the player to call the timeout. You cannot ask the officials to recognize a screaming lunatic head coach on the sideline within a split second. If the player holding the ball is signaling timeout like I'm doing with my hands, they're calling a timeout. And then Philadelphia can re-kind of form. Yeah. So my critique is Maxey's got to be the one to do it.
Yeah.
But when you go back was trying to call a timeout.
When you go back and look at it, Maxey's trying to push that ball to Kyle Lowry. You can see him.
Yes.
He sees Kyle Lowry coming from out of bounds, and he tries to push it. Instead, he throws it. It pushes it right to Josh Hart.
Yes.
So he wasn't even thinking timeout. He was thinking.
He wasn't.
He was thinking, I'm on the ground. I'm not in any position. This is going to be a jump ball. I need to get this to someone else.
Now,
that's what he thought.
This is a little science experiment, and understand I'm on your side before you attack me. Just understand this, Knick fans. Pat Boyle is a Knick fan. I'm going to ask him a question. Okay? Do not attack me. I'm just asking a question. You understand me?
I gotcha.
The league just told you they messed up three times in your favor. Do you feel dirty about last night?
No.
Three times?
No.
Yeah.
Not
I just
the
told you the two fouls in the OG defense for 3 seconds. Yeah.
Not in the slightest.
Okay.
Because the league was also wrong. Like I said, them saying that push off by Maxey's marginal contact is total BS. I'd wipe my tush with that, throw it out the window.
Now, here's the beautiful thing.
And Nick Nurse pump fakes the first time out like he's Zach Wilson in the pocket, so I don't want to hear about it.
Okay. Here's the beautiful thing. You shouldn't feel dirty at all. At all. Who cares that they screwed up? Now, I disagree when you're attacking the man. I think the league did a good job of acknowledging what was right and wrong. But here's the beautiful part about sports. Too freaking bad.
Well,
Jeffrey Mayer interfered with a fly ball in 1996. Too freaking bad. Carlos Beltran singled down the line and the umpire missed it. Too freaking bad.
Whoa.
That's sports. Too freaking bad.
You just did it.
Yeah. I acknowledge it was a bad call, but I acknowledge it was a no-hitter.
No, you just acknowledge it's not a no-hitter.
Yeah.
No, I did.
You did.
Save no, I did.
Into a microphone, Tiki.
Save it forever.
No. Let's go around the room. Majority rules. Tiki, did he acknowledge that Johan did not throw a no-hitter?
He did.
That's not what I said.
I vote he acknowledged that he did not throw a no-hitter. Pat?
He acknowledged it was the wrong call.
Ooh, which I've always acknowledged. It was
Evan
the wrong
Roberts
call.
For the first time
so
in history.
That's not true.
He's acknowledged Johan didn't throw a no-hitter.
That's not true. If you actually read my freaking book, My Mets Bible, I acknowledge it was a bad call, but my point is the same today when I'm talking about the Knicks is when I'm talking about Santana. It doesn't matter that it was a bad call. All calls are final. He pitched a no-hitter. The Yankees won game one of the 96 ALCS, and the Knicks won last night. Period. Stop. It's over. It doesn't matter.
Thank God the NBA doesn't have replay for. I mean, they do
well,
to an extent, but it's not like it's not like it is in other sports because the NBA still feels like it's a sport where human error can determine the outcome.
Well, you know
of
what?
Game.
Know what the problem is? They don't have replay for non-calls.
Yeah,
and they got the replay wrong last night anyway.
Right, and they got the replay wrong. They only have replay for calls.
Yes.
So, like, the big mistakes that were made last night were non-calls. You can't challenge a non-call.
Yeah, true. But it also feels like human error is a big part of the NBA.
Yeah.
Whereas it doesn't feel like it's a part of baseball anymore. It's not a part of football anymore.
It's plenty of part of baseball.
Well, you know
Hunter
what I mean.
Wendell,
you know,
have a word
you know what I mean. But for the most part, it feels like they get it right with replay in the NFL and also in Major League Baseball. But there's not enough moments in baseball to make a difference.
Lee is calling from Long Island. Hey, Lee.
What's up, Lee?
Did he just say human error is not prevalent in baseball? Is he joking? Like,
yeah.
Has he heard of Angel Hernandez? Have you even heard of this guy?
No, of course,
but he's terrible. I mean, that's intentional.
Balls and strikes are a part of baseball.
That's
human error.
That's intentional.
I have two quick things. One is on Zach Wilson and one is on the chant for Embiid. Which one do you want first?
Chant for Embiid. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't care if you do this in English or French, but if you get them back at the Garden, you should be chanting, trust the process.
Yeah.
Because to me, I feel like that rubs it in the face that they failed with this whole rebuild because they never got past the second round.
The only problem with that is that Embiid has somehow embraced the process nickname.
Yeah.
And so the Sixers have almost used it as a rallying cry. They took the Sam Hinkie trust the process mantra and made it mean something different. And by the way, that's an art form where something becomes popular and then like someone else changes the meaning of it. I think Trump has done that a lot, mm-hmm. where something becomes popular and he takes the meaning away from it where you think he came up with it.
Alex Verdugo has done that.
Alex Verdugo did that from Tommy Lukauer. Perfect comparison. By the way, the Yankee lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Very similar lineup tonight. Volpe, Soto, Judge, 1-2-3. Giancarlo, Rizzo, and Glaber, 4-5-6. Verdugo batting seventh. Oswaldo Cabrera's batting eighth. Austin Wells back behind the plate against the right-hander Paul Blackburn, who's had a good start to this season for Oakland.